Chapter 152. An appearance in the Marshalsea. The opinion of the community outside the prison gates bore hard on Clennam as time went on, and he made no friends among the community within. Too depressed to associate with the herd in the yard, who got together to forget their cares, too retiring and too unhappy to join in the poor socialities of the tavern, he kept his own room, and was held in distrust. Some said he was proud. Some objected that he was sullen and reserved. Some were contemptuous of him, for that he was a poor-spirited dog who pined under his debts. The whole population were shy of him on these various counts of indictment, but especially the last, which involved a species of domestic treason, and he soon became so confirmed in his seclusion that his only time for walking up and down was when the evening club were assembled at their songs and toasts and sentiments, and when the yard was nearly left to the women and children. Imprisonment began to tell upon him. He knew that he idled and moped. After what he had known of the influences of imprisonment within the four small walls of the very room he occupied, this consciousness made him afraid of himself. Shrinking from the observation of other men, and shrinking from his own, he began to change very sensibly. Anybody might see that the shadow of the wall was dark upon him. One day when he might have been some 10 or 12 weeks in jail, and when he had been trying to read, and had not been able to release even the imaginary people of the book from the Marshalsea, a footstep stopped at his door, and a hand tapped at it. He arose and opened it, and an agreeable voice accosted him with, "How do you do, Mr. Clennam? I hope I am not unwelcome in calling to see you." Apostrophe, it was the sprightly young barnacle, Ferdinand. He looked very good-natured and prepossessing, though overpoweringly gay and free, in contrast with the squalid prison. "You are surprised to see me, Mr. Clennam," apostrophe he said, taking the seat which Clennam offered him. "I must confess to being much surprised." Apostrophe, "Not disagreeably, I hope?" Apostrophe, apostrophe, "By no means." Apostrophe, "Thank you. Frankly," apostrophe said the engaging young barnacle, "I have been excessively sorry to hear that you were under the necessity of a temporary retirement here, and I hope, of course, as between two private gentlemen, that our place has had nothing to do with it." Apostrophe, apostrophe, "Your office?" Apostrophe, apostrophe, "Our circumlocution place." Apostrophe, "I cannot charge any part of my reverses upon that remarkable establishment." Apostrophe, "Upon my life," apostrophe said the vivacious young barnacle, "I am heartily glad to know it. It is quite a relief to me to hear you say it. I should have so exceedingly regretted our place having had anything to do with your difficulties." Apostrophe, Clennam again assured him that he absolved it of the responsibility. "That's right," apostrophe said Ferdinand. "I am very happy to hear it. I was rather afraid in my own mind that we might have helped to floor you, because there is no doubt that it is our misfortune to do that kind of thing now and then. We don't want to do it, but if men will be graveled, why, we can't help it." Apostrophe, without giving an unqualified assent to what you say, apostrophe returned Arthur, gloomily, "I am much obliged to you for your interest in me." Apostrophe, "No, but really. Our place is," apostrophe said the easy young barnacle, "the most inoffensive place possible. You will say we are a humbug. I won't say we are not, but all that sort of thing is intended to be, and must be. Don't you see?" Apostrophe, "I do not," apostrophe said Clennam. "You don't regard it from the right point of view. It is the point of view that is the essential thing. Regard our place from the point of view that we only ask you to leave us alone, and we are as capital a department as you will find anywhere." Apostrophe, "Is your place there to be left alone?" Apostrophe, apostrophe asked Clennam. "You exactly hit it," apostrophe returned Ferdinand. "It is there with the express intention that everything shall be left alone. That is what it means. That is what it's for. No doubt there's a certain form to be kept up, that it's for something else, but it's only a form. Why, good heaven, we are nothing but forms. Think what a lot of our forms you have gone through. And you have never got any nearer to an end? Apostrophe apostrophe, never, apostrophe said Clennam. Look at it from the right point of view, and there you have us official and effectual. It's like a limited game of cricket. A field of outsiders are always going in to bowl at the public service, and we block the balls. Apostrophe, Clennam asked what became of the bowlers? The airy young Barnacle replied that they grew tired, got dead beat, got lamed, got their backs broken, died off, gave it up, went in for other games. And this occasions me to congratulate myself again, apostrophe he pursued, on the circumstance that our place has had nothing to do with your temporary retirement. It very easily might have had a hand in it, because it is undeniable that we are sometimes a most unlucky place in our effects upon people who will not leave us alone. Mr. Clennam, I am quite unreserved with you. As between yourself and myself, I know I may be. I was so, when I first saw you making the mistake of not leaving us alone, because I perceived that you were inexperienced and sanguine, and had I hope you will not object to my saying some simplicity. Apostrophe, not at all. Apostrophe, some simplicity. Therefore I felt what a pity it was, and I went out of my way to hint to you, which really was not official, but I never am official when I can help it, something to the effect that if I were you, I wouldn't bother myself. However, you did bother yourself, and you have since bothered yourself. Now, don't do it anymore. Apostrophe, I am not likely to have the opportunity, apostrophe said Clennam. Oh yes, you are. You'll leave here. Everybody leaves here. There are no ends of ways of leaving here. Now, don't come back to us. That entreaty is the second object of my call. Pray, don't come back to us. Upon my honor, apostrophe said Ferdinand in a very friendly and confiding way, I shall be greatly vexed if you don't take warning by the past and keep away from us. Apostrophe, and the invention? Apostrophe, apostrophe, said Clennam. My good fellow, apostrophe, returned Ferdinand, if you'll excuse the freedom of that form of address, nobody wants to know of the invention, and nobody cares twopence halfpenny about it. Apostrophe, nobody in the office, that is to say? Apostrophe, apostrophe, nor out of it. Everybody is ready to dislike and ridicule any invention. You have no idea how many people want to be left alone. You have no idea how the genius of the country overlook the parliamentary nature of the phrase, and don't be bored by it, tends to being left alone. Believe me, Mr. Clennam, apostrophe said the sprightly young Barnacle in his pleasantest manner, our place is not a wicked giant to be charged at full tilt, but only a windmill showing you, as it grinds immense quantities of chaff, which way the country wind blows. Apostrophe, if I could believe that, apostrophe said Clennam, it would be a dismal prospect for all of us. Apostrophe, oh, don't say so. Apostrophe returned Ferdinand. It's all right. We must have humbug. We all like humbug. We couldn't get on without humbug. A little humbug, and a groove, and everything goes on admirably, if you leave it alone. Apostrophe, with this hopeful confession of his faith as the head of the rising Barnacles who were born of woman, to be followed under a variety of watchwords which they utterly repudiated and disbelieved, Ferdinand rose. Nothing could be more agreeable than his frank and courteous bearing, or adapted with a more gentlemanly instinct to the circumstances of his visit. Is it fair to ask, apostrophe he said, as Clennam gave him his hand with a real feeling of thankfulness for his candor and good humor, whether it is true that our late lamented Myrtle is the cause of this passing inconvenience? Apostrophe, apostrophe, I am one of the many he has ruined. Yes. Apostrophe, he must have been an exceedingly clever fellow, apostrophe said Ferdinand Barnacle. Arthur, not being in the mood, to extol the memory of the deceased, was silent. A consummate rascal, of course, apostrophe said Ferdinand, but remarkably clever. One cannot help admiring the fellow. Must have been such a master of humbug. Knew people so well, got over them so completely, did so much with them. Apostrophe, apostrophe, in his easy way, he was really moved to genuine admiration. I hope, apostrophe, said Arthur, that he and his dupes may be a warning to people not to have so much done with them again. Apostrophe, my dear Mr. Clennam, apostrophe, returned Ferdinand, laughing, have you really such a verdant hope? The next man who has as large a capacity, and as genuine a taste for swindling, will succeed as well. Pardon me, but I think you really have no idea how the human bees will swarm to the beating of any old tin kettle. In that fact lies the complete manual of governing them. When they can be got to believe that the kettle is made of the precious metals, in that fact lies the whole power of men like our late lamented. No doubt there are here and there, apostrophe said Ferdinand politely, exceptional cases, where people have been taken in for what appeared to them to be much better reasons, and I need not go far to find such a case, but they don't invalidate the rule. Good day. I hope that when I have the pleasure of seeing you next, this passing cloud will have given place to sunshine. Don't come a step beyond the door. I know the way out perfectly. Good day. Apostrophe, with those words, the best and brightest of the barnacles went downstairs, hummed his way through the lodge, mounted his horse in the front courtyard, and rode off to keep an appointment with his noble kinsman, who wanted a little coaching, before he could triumphantly answer certain infidel snobs who were going to question the knobs about their statesmanship. He must have passed Mr. Rugg on his way out, for, a minute or two afterwards, that ruddy-headed gentleman shone in at the door, like an elderly Phobos. How do you do today, sir? Apostrophe, apostrophe, said Mr. Rugg. Is there any little thing I can do for you today, sir? Apostrophe, apostrophe, no, I thank you. Apostrophe, Mr. Rugg's enjoyment of embarrassed affairs was like a housekeeper's enjoyment in pickling and preserving, or a washerwoman's enjoyment of a heavy wash, or a dustman's enjoyment of an overflowing dustbin, or any other professional enjoyment of a mess in the way of business. I still look round, from time to time, sir, apostrophe, said Mr. Rugg, cheerfully, to see whether any lingering detainers are accumulating at the gate. They have fallen in pretty thick, sir, as thick as we could have expected. Apostrophe, he remarked upon the circumstance, as if it were matter of congratulation, rubbing his hands briskly, and rolling his head a little. As thick, apostrophe, repeated Mr. Rugg, as we could reasonably have expected. Quite a shower bath of 'em. I don't often intrude upon you now, when I look round, because I know you are not inclined for company, and that if you wished to see me, you would leave word in the lodge. But I am here pretty well every day, sir. Would this be an unseasonable time, sir, apostrophe asked Mr. Rugg, coaxingly, for me to offer an observation? Apostrophe, apostrophe, as seasonable a time as any other. Apostrophe, Public opinion, sir, apostrophe, said Mr. Rugg, has been busy with you. Apostrophe, I don't doubt it. Apostrophe, might it not be advisable, sir, apostrophe, said Mr. Rugg, more coaxingly yet, now to make, at last and after all, a trifling concession to public opinion? We all do it in one way or another. The fact is, we must do it. Apostrophe, I cannot set myself right with it, Mr. Rugg, and have no business to expect that I ever shall. Apostrophe, don't say that, sir, don't say that. The cost of being moved to the bench is almost insignificant, and if the general feeling is strong that you ought to be there, why really apostrophe, I thought you had settled, Mr. Rugg, apostrophe, said Arthur, that my determination to remain here was a matter of taste. Apostrophe, well, sir, well. But is it good taste? Is it good taste? That's the question. apostrophe Mr. Rugg was so soothingly persuasive, as to be quite pathetic. I was almost going to say, is it good feeling? This is an extensive affair of yours, and your remaining here, where a man can come for a pound or two, is remarked upon as not in keeping. It is not in keeping. I can't tell you, sir, in how many quarters I heard it mentioned. I heard comments made upon it last night in a parlor frequented by what I should call, if I did not look in there now and then myself, the best legal company. I heard, there, comments on it, that I was sorry to hear. They hurt me on your account. Again, only this morning at breakfast. My daughter, but a woman, you'll say. Yet still with a feeling for these things, and even with some little personal experience, as the plaintiff in Rugg and Hawkins was expressing her great surprise, her great surprise. Now under these circumstances, and considering that none of us can quite set ourselves above public opinion, wouldn't a trifling concession to that opinion become, sir, apostrophe said Rugg, I will put it on the lowest ground of argument, and say, amiable? Apostrophe apostrophe Arthur's thoughts had once more wandered away to Little Dorrit, and the question remained unanswered. As to myself, sir, apostrophe said Mr. Rugg, hoping that his eloquence had reduced him to a state of indecision, it is a principle of mine, not to consider myself, when a client's inclinations are in the scale. But, knowing your considerate character and general wish to oblige, I will repeat, that I should prefer your being in the bench. Gutenberg edition. End of chapter.